All right, take two.
We're going to save that for the outtake segment of the BOTR episode 10 or the first year anniversary or something like that, because that basically we just recorded like a whole 15-minute thing, and it was going pretty well, and then DJ Mollis realizes that it ain't fucking recording on the computer, so we got to redo the entire opening segment again.
It's all right.
It's, you know.
Because we figured out some new topics just during the intro that we were recording, so.
Yeah. Be a little bit more cut and dry the second time around.
All right, well, you are listening to Blow on This Radio, Episode 6.
Finally, it's
and just let me double-check again that we are recording.
Yeah, you do that.
Okay, yes, okay. we are recording.
I see the blinking thing that says,
recording, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need to be looking for from now on.
Yeah, and we'll be checking like every 2 seconds, I'm sure.
I could have sworn that I clicked record, but anyway.
Yeah, about
Blow on This Radio,
months?
Episode 6. Yeah, it has been around 5 months.
So, yeah, we are still alive, and we're still kicking, and...
What have you been up to?
Well, for me, college is kind of switched over from, you know, classroom book work, taking tests, to just the actual in the, you know, zone experience with my rotations here. The pharmacy program is 5 years in class and then 1 year out doing different, you know, pharmacy applications. And they switch settings every 5 weeks. I'm currently on the second setting, and that's about halfway done. It's the infectious diseases team at the hospital down there in University Heights. So I get to see a lot of wicked stuff, and later on, actually, we've got a small story about a specific patient who elicited a guttural reaction within me. So stick around for that.
Okay, well, I've just been busy with school. Of course, school's over right now for during summer break, but pretty busy with that and various things, so we didn't really get around to doing episode 6 until now. Kind of a shame. It's, what, July 3rd right now? And, yeah... During the summer, for me, it's mostly work as much as I can, save as much money as I can, and to, you know, help that along even more, I'm going to be selling my entire video game collection. And this is a lot of stuff, people.
Yeah.
I have over, like, 22 systems. I'm not even going to name them all, because it's going to take a while, but I guess I can say everything from Atari 2600 to PS2. And most people will think, well, that's not that much. But there's lots of, you know, more obscure systems in there that a lot of people don't think about. Ugh, sorry about that. I have a 3DO, Atari Jaguar, Sega Saturn,
TurboGrafx-16?
Yeah, TurboGrafx-16, but here I am.
You actually have, wow.
I have two TurboGrafx-16s.
Oh, man. Do you have any games for that?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember what games I have.
Any, like, credit card games or whatever?
I never played. Yeah, that was a really interesting game. Cartridge for me.
Yeah, I remember I took that. I'm like, what is some kind of special? You know, I got one of those for my sister for her, like, what the hell was it? Like 92, I think. So she'd have been what, like 6 or 8? No, she was 6, and she opens the thing. And she's like, oh, cool! I got like a game and a little card too. And I'm like, wait a minute, I think that is the game. What the?
Oh yeah, I don't remember. I remember the Bonk series is kind of fun.
Yeah, I actually got to play this. I always wanted to play this, but I never got a chance to get up into those. I had, like, Keith Courage, or whatever the hell it was that came with it, and Power Golf, which I played about, I think, half a time.
I had some Turrican game, like Super Turrican, or I don't know, but something like that. But, yeah, but it's all going up on eBay. And in preparation for this auction, I was kind of watching around on eBay looking for similar auctions where someone was selling a lot of stuff, and... I didn't find any that really had as much as mine, and like a system, you know, someone selling maybe 6 or 7 systems and all their games, I saw one and went for around $500, so I'm aiming my expectations low, saying that, you know, I'll get it for around $500, and even that's good for me right now, but I'm assuming that I'll get more money out of it than $500, and plus that auction I was watching, it was one of those, you know, warehouse people, you know, they have lots and lots of stuff, and and it's like, everything must go, sort of, you know, auction thing that says that. And they're selling, like, you know, thousands of other things on eBay at the same time. You know, personally, when I buy things off eBay, I want to buy from someone who is selling no more than 4 or 5 items at that particular time, because I don't want to, you know, copy-paste response, you know, when I'm dealing with, you know, spending my money over the internet with somebody like that. When it's not a company, it's, you know, a person. You know, you think you can trust them more when you're, you know... Especially people who are selling just one thing at a time, because, you know that you are their priority when it comes, you know.
copy and paste.
And I gotta give that to whoever's gonna be buying, you know, my entire lot, because there's a lot of stuff to deal with. It's probably gonna go for quite a bit, and I have no clue how I'm gonna ship this stuff right now.
Armored plated car or something like that.
So I'm gonna need to work with somebody. You know, I'll probably even give them a call, or, you know, more than email, at least, you know, either instant message or call them, because I'm gonna need to work out how exactly it's gonna be shipped, because
unless you're like super lucky and they live within the state.
Yeah, then I could just truck it to them. You know, even then, honestly, my entire collection does not fit in my car.
Oh yeah.
It will not fit in my car.
I have a road trip involving
me
coming into play here.
I have around six big Rubbermaid bins just full of crap.
Jeez.
Not to mention things that aren't in the bin. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff. I think I have a lot of games and a lot of accessories and just all kinds of crap. So, about the only systems I don't have in this would be Neo Geo CD.
Master System.
I got a Master System there.
Okay.
I don't have a GameCube because I already sold that a while ago when I got one for a gift. I sold that because the ex-girlfriend gave it to me, and I'm like, eh. Don't want it anymore. What was I going to say? I don't remember now, but yeah. All other system I don't have would be, I don't have a Virtual Boy.
Why does my nose tingle all of a sudden?
Because you have a Virtual Boy, don't you?
I do, but it must be some subconscious thing.
Because, your cat attacked your Virtual Boy, didn't it?
Yeah, he bit through when I was playing it.
Yeah, we got some Killer Instinct music going on in the background. Well, that's, I guess that's enough of what I've been up to, so let's kick things off with the video game trivia question.
Video game trivia. You want to go through all the video game magazine stuff or not?
Well, see, I was going to sell some video game magazines with my collection, but I decided not to. I'll keep them for now, but
yeah,
we were just thinking, you know, back then, if people were a gamer, you know, we're saying back in the day, the games that we were talking about, you know, serious gamers back then had a subscription either to Nintendo Power or Game Pro.
Yeah.
And Nintendo Power, of course, only covered Nintendo products, and I liked how they had their little charts in there for, like, top games.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, based on sales. But then certain games were on there forever.
Yeah, Mario 3.
Like, Zelda. The original Zelda was on there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like, you know, the Billboard Top 50, but for video games.
That's cool. They also had, like, the comics. They had, like, that Nestor guy. Then they had, like, the Mario and Zelda series for, I think, was it 91 or 92? And it was, like, every month would be a new. And they actually released those in, like, huge, like, you know, hardback. I gotta have one of those somewhere.
I remember one thing that I liked about Street Fighter 2. It reminded me of that on the GamePro Mac, they had those Street Fighter 2 pullout like things. You know, so you wouldn't have to, you know, you could take the little strategy guide someplace with you and you wouldn't need your whole magazine. That was kind of cool. I don't think Nintendo ever really did the strategy guide thing other than separate magazines that you could get with your subscription or whatever.
I have one of those somewhere nearby. I think it's like the one with like Chun-Li on the cover or something like that, but it's like the cover's almost like totally faded white because it was in the back of the car being bleached by the sun for so long.
Yeah, they weren't very good print quality, but I liked how GamePro had their little rating system. I think they probably still do that. I didn't pay much attention last time I picked up a GamePro to look. You know, they had those spaces or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had their GamePro TV show, which you actually have an episode of on
Yeah,
tape.
We found that tape. We found a VHS tape.
Hosted by J.D. Roth or something like that.
Yeah, it was about a couple of years ago. And DJ Miles found a way to, like, salvage the tape, and, like, because it was one of those things where it was, like, broken, but it wasn't the tape itself, it was just, like, the cartridge wouldn't work, so we
is that the actual tape and the VHS tape.
Oh, okay.
It, like, it came off one of the spinners or whatever.
That's
it, basically,
right, okay.
It was totally separated, so if you open up the tape, you couldn't see the actual, like, you know, the
it, like, split.
Strip or whatever. I don't know what you would call that, the, you know, the contents or whatever.
The black film thing.
Yeah, the black film thing, whatever.
You used, like, about, like, half a cent worth of scotch tape.
So what I did is I took a screwdriver, opened up the VHS cassette, found where it snapped apart, took a piece of scotch tape, you know, taped it together at that spot so it, you know, it'd be a complete it, put it back together, told RXC that, you know, when we're watching this tape, there's going to be that part right there where it's going to mess up and nothing's going to play, but it should be okay and it won't damage the VCR. And so if you put it in, there was like an old Mario cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
For like Mario 3, I think.
It was like a 1991 time capsule. I remember like it was like the Thanksgiving
episode. All
those old
commercials and stuff, yeah.
Drexel's class, whatever.
Yeah, that's a nice, like, you know, tape to have.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw it was that
Captain N cartoons. Man. That was something.
I mean, if it was but you know, of higher quality, it'd be worth you know ripping and put it on the internet or at least put on DVD or something. So I know there were some video game magazines back then that really sucked.
Yeah.
And I can't really remember them offhand.
Nintendo Pro. Game Power.
Yeah, they did have weird knockoffs like that. I remember EGM. When EGM first came out, like, some people loved it, some people hated it. I kind of hated it. I didn't like it. Like, I go to, like, game stores and pick up EGM, and it was totally, like, just Sega masturbation because they totally trashed Nintendo. And even back then, I think Super Nintendo was probably...
Fusion. Wasn't that one of them?
Fusion. I don't remember.
That's the one, you know, who had...
Yeah, Fusion. Yeah, there were just so many back then. I think they probably... They really cut down now because of the internet.
Yeah. I mean, just go on the internet and, you know, 2 seconds of Google and get you, like, all the facts you could want.
And people doing independent reviews and things like that. Mm. Well, I guess we can move on to our video game trivia question.
You don't have to buy the damn game anymore. Just go on the fucking internet and get the damn game. Do a Google search, get the fucking facts.
Yeah, jump on Supernova and download, you know, the latest, you know, latest.
And download a ROM hacking program and hack the damn thing. You're done with it.
That's an idea. There's a damn good idea right there. This is bad radio. I have a chip in my mouth.
I think, eat it like that. Eat at the same time. That's the key. Don't eat at the same time.
We need to do... I know we have enough, you know, projects on the back burner already, but...
Oh, yeah.
A video game magazine, or maybe an e-zine, something online. Like... I don't know, you know, like... Something like called Lame Pro or something. Like, yeah. Game Pro, but for ROM hacks. Where we review ROM hacks and, that'd be so awesome.
That'd be good.
There's, you know, if iMockery did, like, you know, magazine, the ROM hacks, I mean, they could do that easily.
Very easily.
And they could actually sell that, probably. But
yeah, there you go.
Other than the copyright issues and stuff.
Meh.
Meh. Like that. That's the traditional response to copyright on the internet. Meh. Take that, RIAA.
Ooh.
Meh.
You got served.
The RA just got
F got the A.
You just got F the A, RIAA.
Ooh, that could be a song.
Yeah, it could.
Where's DMX when you need it?
I think he's in jail right now. Or
oh, yeah, I heard about that. Didn't he, like, assault someone, try to pretend he's an FBI agent?
Yeah, an FBI agent.
Yeah, him and some skank.
Like, I'm an FBI agent up in here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be doing some jail time.
Yeah.
They have his mugshot up on...
Smoking Gun.
Yeah, Smoking Gun, I saw that.
I sure wish they'd get that, what's that guy I don't like? 50 Cent, why is he not in prison yet? I mean, come on. Or Puffy, how does Puffy keep getting away with all this other stuff?
Two words. Johnny Cochran.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to video game trivia.
Yeah, this is a trivia question I've been kind of holding off on for a while. I wrote a whole bunch back in the fall, and like most things that I come up with, this came about when I was bored in class. This is kind of metaphysical in a way. And it's hard to explain without, like, the use of visual aids, which, of course, being a radio show, I don't have. Therefore, I'm just going to talk very slow and succinctly here. I've got the answer typed out, which, of course, will begin at the end of the program. But the question, and for once, we finally have a Sega game here, the Sonic 3 bonus level. Now, if you don't remember, this entails running around, like, a checkered globe, grabbing blue spheres, and avoiding the red ones. If you get all the blue spheres, and it counts down as you grab them, then you beat the level. If you touch a red sphere even once, you're done. And when you grab a blue sphere, it turns red, so that's another little catch there. Anyway, the question is, why does this level defy the laws of physics? And I don't want to hear about hedgehogs running and jumping on spheres in the middle of nowhere, okay? It's like everything else, suspension of disbelief, but what specifically about the level? And think more in terms of the pattern of the sphere itself. There's a key. Why does it defy the laws of physics? Think of trying to make an actual real-life model of these levels, if you want to key into kind of what I'm getting here. So, we'll have the answer to that at the end.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah. Got me thinking about it.
Something to do with the path you follow. I'll give that extra hint there.
So, where are we going now?
Well, let's see here. I suppose I have HOLLA written down here in my notes. I guess I might as well segue into my rotation at the infectious disease unit, the clinic, or the huge, it's called UIHC, basically. It's University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. But I'm in the infectious disease team, and I follow some of the doctors around. And one of them, I think she actually finished there, so she, I don't think she worked, because yesterday was her last day, so her first name was Hala. I think she was Russian or Arabic or something. Anyway, nice lady. She was always on the ball, and she knew what was going on, so that was kind of, you know, everyone kind of followed her. So anyway, just as an aside, though, I couldn't help but, you know, think in my head whenever I heard someone address her by name, you know, Ja Rule is going to pop out of the bushes somewhere and start screaming at me. Hala! And it just, and I told it to my partner. I've got a partner. I mentioned that to at lunch, and he's just, yeah, that was, I don't know, I guess just our generation hears that word, and it means something to us.
I haven't really seen him on TV much lately.
No, neither have I. I think, I don't know,
he's trying to reinvent himself.
Yeah,
beyond the whole Hala thing.
Yeah.
Because isn't there those skits that you can find on the internet that are just really
fucking... Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I think we might actually have a couple of those. I think, it's Ja Rule's duets. Of course, you know his, what was this, 2001 release with J-Lo and Elbow and all his other weirdos, had a bunch of duets with him and, you know, singing with the girls and Ashanti and who was the other one? She has a song out now that's all nice and provocative. I forget. What's her name? She's in all the movies with Nick Cannon. Christina Milian, that's it. Yeah. Anyway, Ja Rule had an album come out a couple years ago with all these duets, but it just so happens that he's actually come out with Ja Rule Duets Volume 2. Let's hear about this.
If you liked the Ja Rule Duets album, you'll flip when you hear his new album, Ja Rule Duets 2. Ja Rule has gone back in the studio with his CD player to bring you new old hits like this.
Check it. What would I be without you?
And this.
I can be your hero, baby.
Hero.
I can kiss away the pain.
I can kiss you, baby, baby.
And if you order now, you'll get this special bonus track.
Put it on, what would I be without you? Sing it with myself, holla, that's me, in the background, hit it.
That's right, Ja Rule duet with himself, Ja Rule Duets 2, order now.
Wow, I'll have to get that when that comes out. I guess I might as well keep going with the infectious disease thing. I had a... Yeah, might as well turn the music back on. okay.
Keep going.
Okay, anyway, I don't know, what's probably the worst thing you've seen in real life? Not on Rotten.com or on TV, but in real life, as far as just, you know, I don't want to be seeing that.
I think when I had to go see some cadavers on a field trip, and it was like some nasty, naked, old woman.
Oh, yeah?
And they didn't cover her up. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The first real breast
dead, dead, rotten, blue. I'm not even going to go any farther.
Yeah, please don't.
Leave it there. And all that, the smell is the worst.
Oh, yeah?
Formaldehyde smell, like, ugh.
Interesting, because that was a big thing in my upcoming story. Anyway, not real life, but, like, on, like, TV or on the internet or something, like, what's the worst thing you've seen there? This could probably be a higher threshold,
like,
I'm guessing.
Not on TV, not on the internet or TV.
But on the TV, not in real life. Just you've seen it, just like the image or the.
On the internet now.
Yeah, all with the internet.
I think the worst thing I've seen on the internet is that weightlifter blowout picture.
Rob.com.
I mean, visually it's not that bad, but when you think about how that, like, to get from normal to that point, and the pain and the silence involved.
Oh man.
That's. Okay, yeah, that is definitely the most...
You haven't seen that fountain girl in the bathtub?
I probably do, but it's not nearly as...
Yeah, you probably blocked it out mentally, because I know I did until I read, like, a review of, like, all the, like, the worst the internet has to offer. I'm like, oh, God, I have seen that. Damn it. Now I remember. Yeah. Probably the worst I've ever seen online or whatever is I was doing a search for the Daniel Pearl execution video in Kazaa a couple summers ago. Just, you know, morbid curiosity or whatever. And I found a video of a beheading that was not Daniel Pearl, someone else. It was like this unknown Russian soldier. It's like this, like, field of just, like, gray rocks. And this, like, bald-ass guy is, like, on the ground like that. And this boot comes down on his head. And then it's just like, and someone takes a knife and just jams it right in the middle of his throat and the side there, and then, like, just kind of slices forward throughout, you know, the front of his throat, basically, and so his head's, like, half cut off. So, basically, you can't talk, you can't breathe, I don't think. You probably can't sing that well. But at least your spinal cord's still intact, so you have to cut through that. But then this guy just lays there, it's like, gurgles for about 2.5 minutes, and then they show, like, you know, okay, now, dead guy on ground. I'm sitting there like, did I just see what I thought I just saw? Damn it. And of course, I'm the dumbest. I go back and play it again to make sure. Yeah, I saw what I thought I just saw. And now I got to live with that the rest of my life. You know, that was...
snuff video.
I've got a pretty high tolerance for violence and all that. I grew up with Mortal Kombat and Chucky movies and all that. But that wasn't good. And I actually hear... I was on this same topic with my partner at the UIHC. And it turns out he saw the same video, also by accident, because some fucker mislabeled it. You know, like, you know... Britney Spears porn, I don't know, or some I think he was looking for some kind of rock band or something like that, some interview or something like that. But you got a lot of stuff out there that people just totally mislabel. I don't know if they do it to be idiots or what, but anyway, back to reality.
Well, that just reminds me of, you know, that the recent beheading of some U.S. soldier or whatever?
Yeah.
Where they, like, apparently, like, yeah, I've heard people talk about the video. And apparently when they cut his throat, like, blood just, like, oozes out. And people were, you know, makes me wonder, I think that guy was probably dead at the time. Because I hear if you get your aorta cut, blood can actually shoot, like...
Well, the heart itself acts like a pump, so yeah.
I heard if you, not your aorta, but your jugular.
Oh, yeah.
If you get that cut, I heard that...
Oh, yeah, it should, yeah. The neck would, yeah, that would spray out, it should, at least for at first, because...
Some place on the neck, or, I mean, just coming out of the heart, if it gets cut...
Subclavian?
Like, blood can shoot at least, like, 22 feet in the air, I've read.
Yeah, it's not... It's probably something like that, yeah, because, like I said, you can just stick, like, a hose or, like, a, you know, thing in someone's vein, and the heart itself will act like a pump and just, you know, drain you out. So...
Well, anyway, moving on. Basically, I don't think that guy was dead. I mean, I don't think he was alive when they cut his head off.
Yeah, what was the other guy? The, I did see actually bits of a Daniel Pearl video eventually later on, and I think that when they kind of reenacted, like, the beheading, because when they came down with the knife, you cannot take one chop with as weak of an arm as they were using, you know, and get all the way through a human neck. It just doesn't happen. So I think it was already... But then there's different forms of the video out there, so... I got the one with all the stupid, you know, Pakistani slogans interspersed throughout this. Probably, like, you know, buy porn or something like that. Half of them. But anyway. Allah, Allah, goat porn. Anyways, Thursday we're doing rounds, and this, actually we don't do this very often. Like, actually follow the doctors around as a patient, maybe once or twice a week. Anyway, we're on this one floor, and I go into the surgical bay, and first thing I notice is this really weird, subtle smell. And you know how, like, the stronger smells, you'll eventually get used to them, it'll just wear itself off. The subtler ones just stay there. And this was like you're saying, like formaldehyde or some weird-ass chemical I couldn't quite name, but it was similar to that. I'm sitting there like, okay, well, we are an infectious disease. And of course, you're always thinking... You know, technically, these people are all, like, contagious, and I could theoretically get something, and if I would, you know, would it smell like something? So you got that going through your head. And I see this guy, and he's this big, you know, guy, and he's on the bed's kind of, like, raised a little bit diagonally. And he's totally, I mean, I think he was there, but he wasn't, like, totally there. And the doctors did this wound on his chest, and it was, like, kind of like shaped like a football. I think they removed, like, part of a chest bone or something, but it basically, like, the skin was all gone. And it was just like the layer of muscle beneath that, just red. And if you've seen a steak at Walmart or in the meat rack somewhere, you've seen exactly what this looks like. It's nothing that big of a deal. It's just a layer of muscle, really. And I see, and they're taking the dressings off it, you know, to change the gauze or whatever. And of course, they clean the wound out a bit. And I'm sitting there, and I just saw that. I'm out in the hallway. I wasn't actually in the direct room, but I was, you know, maybe like probably 10 feet at most from the guy. And I'm sitting, oh. Look at that. It's kind of interesting. And, of course, I remember the big speech we got in the very first day. You know, you might be seeing some stuff here, and if you got to have a problem with it, you got to go to the, you know, go out to the hallway or sit down or go to the restroom, you know, do it. Take care of yourself. You know, do what has to be done. Don't feel bad about doing that. So, of course, you're going through all the, you know, what if situations in your head, like, you know, how am I going to react? Because you can probably know yourself pretty well, but until it actually happens, you know, there's always finding out those wonderful little surprises that you didn't know about yourself. Anyway, here's the thing. I thought I'd have some reaction to that kind of thing, but the fact that I didn't when I saw that, and it wasn't really that bad, like I said. It was just, you know, red. And the big thing was that it was kind of moving up and down because the heart was, like, right beneath it. That was the only real thing there. I'm like, okay, no big deal. I actually got a bit closer for, you know, a better look. They cleaned the wound. They put the dressings back on. You know, nothing big. So I'm just kind of standing around like I do for a good part of the day, just kind of waiting for them to finish talking, finish discussing, and move on to the next patient. And I'm kind of looking around the room like, it still smells in here. I don't like this formaldehyde. And, you know, pace around for a couple more minutes. And that's when I noticed the room was getting really, really hot, really, really fast. And I didn't know why. So my first thought was that some idiot, probably the janitor, had took a thermostat about 20 degrees. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Then I got this big pressure buildup in my head. Now, about this time, I was starting to figure something might be wrong. So I look at my legs, and they were already cramped from standing around too long, and turns out they weren't. I could almost, like, see the countdown, you know, 19, 18, 17. You know, you're not going to have any legs anymore, boy. You know, it's like, let's find a chair. And, of course, a conference room was right behind me, so thank goodness for that. I went, found a chair, sat down a little bit. A couple seconds later, found a better chair, sat down a little bit more. I did that whole, now, it wasn't really nausea, per se. It was just kind of like that uneasy feeling where you got, like, a lot of pressure and a lot of heat. And my skin was actually turning red, and I was sweating, which I hardly ever do. I'm not a sweater. I don't get heat stroke, or I don't get overheated. I wear my winter coat from, like, September to March, and I just, you know, I'm a cold, intolerant freak is what I am. So when I get, you know, sweating, something's really wrong. But I did that thing where you just put your head between your knees, you know, and just sit there and breathe through your mouth. And that was nice. You know when you got something like that going and it stops finally? That's better than drugs. That is fucking nice when you're back to neutral. Like, I'm back to neutral! Oh, yeah! That's some shit right there. Keep this. My partner comes up and he's like, where the fuck did you go? Oh, you just take a breather. He was good about it, you know. And I was trying to think, though, is it possible, do you think, to have, like, a delayed reaction to that kind of thing? Where, like, right at the moment, you don't really think anything of it, but then later on, it's like, bam. Or have, like, some kind of subconscious thing where, like, you don't actively know you don't like it, but your subconscious is like, fuck! So, I don't know.
It could have been something like the smell.
It could have been the smell, I think. Maybe
I react to the smells. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, if I just go to a regular hospital, I start getting like that.
Yeah, me too. I don't like hospital smells. And I don't like the colors. What's with all this basic white crap? God. It's like the last color I want to see when I'm in pain. Well, yellow and orange I don't care for either, Yeah, it's, I think, might have been somewhat psychosomatic, like I'm thinking, you know, I should really be fucked up about this, but I'm not. And, you know, tempt fate and it'll bite you in the ass. And it could have been because I didn't eat breakfast or lunch, thank goodness, and, you know, maybe my blood sugar might have been zeroing out at that point, so I don't know, probably a multitude of things. But anyway, that's the fun story of how I almost passed out. See, it's one of those situations where, you know, being a guy, you're always thinking, if that time comes, I don't want to look like a fucking wuss. And like, I have to leave the room, you know. Trust me, when the time comes, the last thing you worry about is looking like a fucking wuss, okay? You don't want to look like a fucking retard and pass out in the surgical bay. That's what you're worried about. And I had already used up my retard minutes that morning when I couldn't answer a bunch of questions at my interrogation session. A bunch of antibiotics, I didn't know what the fuck they were, what the fuck they did. So that was, yeah. So anyway, I get to spend some time with some flashcards next week. That's my plan.
So how's the ROM hack going?
Well, nice change of venue.
Well, yeah, it's been a while since we put up the first beta.
It's been a while since I've done some stuff. I think I gave you an advanced copy of the current version, well, the current version at that point for your birthday. But I might put a beta 2 out there. I wasn't planning it. I think I might just put a beta 2 because we're in the end stages of production here. Be about another. I want to get this out by probably Election Day. Not because it's anything to do with the election, but just because, you know, early November. I mean, it's been over a year at that point, so I want to get it done then. I also want to give iMockery, like, at least a month to pick up on their own before I kind of start maybe emailing the file to certain people on the staff there. Review this, you know. But I want to give them at least some time to kind of find on their own so I can be pleasantly surprised. But I want to see if I can get the ROM hack review up by Christmas, you know, just to kind of... That'd be a good Christmas gift, I think. You know, just sit back Christmas morning with some egg fried rice and just, yeah, celebrate the season. Because I do expect them to be totally brutal. In fact, I'd be disappointed if they weren't, because I'm giving them all the stuff they need, trust me. I'm giving them...
the ROM hack to end all ROM
hacks. I'm putting it on, yeah. I'm going to put it on. Yeah.
You should resubmit it to that one, like, message board that, like, ripped it apart. Like,
oh, I
plan
on
you're
on
racist
it.
And, like...
Oh, yeah, I plan on... Well,
the wine and tea people.
Yeah, wine and croissant.
Wine and croissant.
Yeah. Well, actually, I got a little... I got a little bit of revenge on them within the ROM hack. You can, you know, when it comes out, you can... Well, it's on the one you got, but it'll be on the beta, too, as well. So if you want to spend some time looking for that, you can. I'm also really thinking of, like, you know, a little, like, fun stuff to put in there. Like, I'm going to have, like, WMDs, like actual the icon or whatever. It'll be hidden. There'll be one within each world, and you got to, you know, just find them. You can't really do anything when you find them, but it's just kind of your own personal edification. Yeah, I found the ones in World 5, you know. So that's kind of a little in-joke there. Let's see. A couple of things I'll throw in there probably. But I want to get, like, the map screens. I've been fucking with them a lot lately. I want to get them. World 3 is totally... World 3-6. If I can't get this fixed until, you know, the beta 2 comes out, watch out for World 3-6 because it's totally fucked up. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. And, of course, this will all be fixed by the time the final version comes out. But just so you know, I want to get some of the map screens cleaned up. Anyway, so expect the Beta 2 to come out within the next week or so, probably early mid-July, hopefully somewhere in there. Let's see here. What else can we talk about?
Well, got some news about a new show that's coming out.
There you go.
I haven't really, we leaked a little bit of information on a choice forum that we visit. But not too much is known about this show, and, I'm trying to decide what now I want to, what all I want to leak myself, but I'll give the blow on this radio listener a little bit more for their money or whatever. The new show is going to be called Geek Love Radio, or GLR, whatever you want to call it, and the idea was it just appeared out of nowhere to me and DJ Sub-Zero during dinner at a dining center at the college that we go to. We were sitting there thinking we wanted something for the community, something that's original, hasn't been done before, and won't be taken too seriously, but will be done seriously. And so we wanted to do a show, you know, based around that. And we start thinking, and there's a lot of people on the forums that we visit, they come to us asking for relationship advice. You know, and these are geeky people that have, you know, people who have a little bit harder time with it to begin with, because they're not so much, you know, I don't know what I want to say, not as social as your average person, you know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily socially petrified, but, you know, maybe a little bit more uncomfortable in certain situations.
They still know how to start a conversation. They don't know how to...
And
I'm speaking on their behalf. I'm their poster child.
And me and DJ Sub-Zero have had a little bit more luck with that sort of thing. And we're huge geeks, so we figured we might as well help the community. You gotta make your geekiness become attractive. You know, it has to be something that's cute about you. And so that's what me and DJ Sub-Zero are doing. And it's gonna start in the fall. It's actually gonna be broadcast out of our apartment living room. And we're gonna go all out with the production. Got a number of mixers, putting together soundboards. The quality's going to be up there. It's going to be an AUG Vorbis format, and it's going to be, we're going to stream it over the internet too, so you can listen to it live. The first few episodes might not be done live, just because, you know, I might need to get a feel for what we're doing first. It's going to be a live chat room. We've already got the IRC channel registered for that, and we already got the website. It's going to be geekloveradio.com, it's easy to remember, and we're going to try to, you know, the site's going to not just be the distribution of the show, but we're still working on this, I don't give it too much, but we're going to get the listeners more involved than other shows that are out there, not just some forum where listeners can, you know, post advice or anything like that, but let's just say we got some plans to get the listeners more involved. And you might think, oh, a relationship advice show for geeks, you know, you're going to run dry content, but no. It's not going to run dry because we're going to cover, you know, geek topics other than relationship things, you know. But we're going to try tying it into that. But also, there's so many people who are coming to us for advice, and not everyone's having the same problem. It's not like, you know, it's not cut and dry, cookie cutter problems that, you know, here's the fix for that, you know, there you go. It's going to be unique things probably for each person. Each person might have, you know, a separate flaw that they're trying to get, you know, get over, you know, or like, hey, I'm uncomfortable in a bar, a club type environment, or, you know, that sort of thing. And one nice thing about the show is that RXSE is working on the theme song. We're going to have a nice theme song for it. And
hopefully.
I've listened to the demo so far, and it sounds good. I had some suggestions for it, but we're going to work on it.
I've got a lot of problems with it myself, but I'm kind of a purist when it comes
but
to...
But you got all the way until probably September to get the file out, so it'll be cool. That's what we're working on, so you can expect that sometime within September. Maybe early August, if you're lucky. But and we're planning on trying to do this show on Monday nights.
Hmm. It's like a weekly thing or monthly?
We're going to try doing it weekly.
Wow.
Because it's going to be, it's all within our, you know, apartment, and it's going to be like, you know, an hour probably. We're going to attempt to do the weekly thing. We're going to see how well it goes.
Go for it.
Considering we don't need to really travel to do anything.
Yeah.
And content's going to be easy for us to get. We're going to have the, like, the studio permanently set up in our living room.
There you go.
We're going to have a webcam in the studio, and it's going to be fun, and I don't think there's really any shows on Monday night, so we're going to give the people something to listen to. Yeah. Plus, of course, you can listen to shows after they've been broadcast. They'll be available for download.
I don't, you done?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw here, you're not going to believe this, but Ja Rule is coming out with a third duets album, and he actually sent us the promo for it. Oh. You want to hear that now, or?
Sure, let's
okay.
Listen to that.
Let's go for that.
If you love Ja Rule Duets 1 and 2, and how could you not, then you'll love Ja Rule Duets 3. Ja Rule is so hot right now, everybody wants to record with him, or at least re-record with him. On Duets 3, you'll get this.
Whenever, what you say, hello, what would I be without you?
And this.
This is a remind me, you me.
Here's a song that proves nobody gets the party started like Ja Rule.
To all my people, we've been living it up. Hey!
Ja Rule Duets 3. If you order now, you'll also get this bonus masterpiece.
Hey, put it on me. Holla!
Ja Rule Duets 3. It'll make you holla.
Holla! Holla!
Yes.
Another Ja Rule
class. Holla indeed.
Okay, well, that brings us to our next topic, which is the cartoon that we're working on.
Yes.
It's still in early stages.
Planning stages?
Pretty early.
I got about maybe roughly half of the pilot script written out in my bedroom upstairs.
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. Me and RXC worked on a cartoon that we actually hand-animated back then. We drew everything out. And
about 5 years ago, I think.
You know, recorded it, you know, frame by frame and then dubbed it over into the voices and... I mean, it was awesome for then, but looking at it now, the quality sucks, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those, you know, pilot episodes, you know, kind of like South Park where they originally did it with, like, cutouts and of construction paper and things like that.
Yeah.
It's about the quality of that. And we want to continue doing something like that. Plus, it's kind of in the area what I'm interested in for a future job, so. Anyway, fast forward 5-6 years, and... now I'm all into 3D animation and 3D modeling, so we're going to take that original idea a step further, and we're going to release a 3D cartoon.
Yeah, change all the names so we don't get sued.
And so we're working on getting together the pilot for that right now.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good setup, basically. What it's about is this kid who grows up in, you know, Boondocks, Iowa. not unlike a few certain co-hosts of a radio show. And essentially, he doesn't like he's kind of a whiner at heart, but the episodes kind of revolve around everything in the world pissing him off, basically.
Yeah.
But you kind of learn to kind of like him, just kind of in a grudging way. But he's got these two hilarious parents, and the parents are based on real people in our own personal lives. I know the mom's based a lot on my own mother, who's kind of got some, you know, she grew up on a farm. She's got, you know, old school type small town values, and she'll say kind of the wackiest thing outright in the middle of a conversation and not even realize it. And it's sweet, but it's, you know, it's still kind of funny. So we poke fun at a lot of that. We make fun of Iowa a lot, basically, in the show.
Kind of in the way that King of the Hill makes fun of Texas.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtle
Texas
jokes.
Yeah,
very much so. The style's kind of like a 3D South Park with a lot of, you know, not anti-Iowa, but kind of like, you know, ha-ha Iowa type, you know, humor. But anyway,
done in a way where anybody could watch it. And
oh yeah.
Be entertained by it.
Iowa, Nebraska, Indiana, probably. You know, a lot of places are like that. It's like I heard the other day someone was talking about, you know, it's not like North or South or Hickville or Urbanville. It's more of a rural or urban thing. I mean, if you go out to rural anywhere, you can't tell whether you're in North or South, really. You know, you go to an urban area, okay, then you start seeing more locale-specific stuff. But anyway, the kid, basically, his dad wins the lottery in the first episode. They move from Butterworth County to a kind of a planned community, Celtic Cascade. And there's a lot of Irish stuff in there because the family, I guess, has kind of got an Irish background. And so there's some of that in there. Anyway, the kid, the main character, takes to this really well because, you know, he thinks it's, you know, his surroundings are now more worthy of him. And he's kind of a big poser in that sense because he's just, I don't know, he doesn't really belong anywhere. He doesn't fit in the old place. He doesn't fit in the new place, but he thinks he does. So he makes friends with a kind of a guy next door, a character who's kind of like the, not really a man about town, but kind of like, you know, the guy every guy wants to be, you know, all nice, tall, and blonde, the chicks all like him. Sorry, girls all like him. I forgot I'm supposed to be politically correct. No, I'm not.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
You want to be politically correct with this?
Yeah, I forget, it's the weekend, and I can say what I want now. I don't have a whole conference room of people looking at me. Anyways, that's another topic I'll get on later. I forgot to write that down. There's some really wicked humor they have down there. This patient's so screwed up. Oh, man, he's going to die. Anyway, and there's also kind of a... Turns out the person who owns the community, or kind of like, you know, owns the land it's on, like the landlord, so to speak, he's this guy about the same age as the main character, known as the Techno Pimp. And he's got a lot of interesting ideas. It's kind of like, ways about him, he goes about stuff, it just annoys the hell out of the main character, Chuck. I should give him his name. Chuck, yeah. Morgan is the main character. And, see, it's interesting, though, because the guy next door that Chuck likes and kind of aspires to be like, Tyson, and the Techno Pimp are friends, and there's kind of this little, you know, what do you want to call it, antagonistic thing where, you know, it's like a triangle of, you know, like, dislike. So it's kind of an interesting play there. But there's, we got a lot of stuff to work with for the first slate of episodes. I don't know how many we're going to have. Just make the pilot at first, probably, and kind of see where we go from there. But I've got episodes where we make fun of Walmart. I've got episodes where we make fun of just a lot of the stuff that Iowa has to offer. That
there's the one episode where we take the...
Where
we take
this is good.
Internet fads and kind of mix it in there.
Every internet fad, and we put it all together.
Appearances by the badger people, and...
All your bass. Ellen Feist.
Peanut butter jelly song thing. Yeah, the Ellen Feist.
Yeah. Just the fucking food fairies in there somehow. We'll put them in there. And a special appearance by you-know-who at the end. And I'm not going to say his name because we all know who I'm talking about. The internet fad and all internet fads. So, get that to look forward to.
I just remember what that was. Yeah, that is the internet fads and all internet fads. I don't know how long this episode is going to be, but you know what, I'm starting to get... Starting to get kind of hungry, so.
Yeah, I get some egg fried rice and.
I don't know. Tacos sound pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking that lately too. I got two busted teeth, but I still want taco shells for some reason. That must be a pretty damn strong addiction. You know, I actually used to work at Taco Bell about 6 years ago. Actually, about this time I got hired around 4th of July. And it's probably the worst summer, with the exception of detasseling, which is another episode for the show, by the way. Detasseling. But with the exception of that, that was probably the worst summer job I ever had in my life because it was just. I mean, yeah, you get free food and free drinks and all that, but still, it was, the hours weren't all that bad, but they kept me, I didn't even know, this was actually illegal. They kept me, after they clocked me out, after I clocked out, I had to stay an extra hour to help clean up. And since the store wasn't in session or wasn't actually serving customers, I guess we're off the clock. But, you know, I could have gotten the labor office down there if I cared to call them, which I wouldn't have anyway. But, you know, I guess I was so freaked out about getting fired because my parents really jumped on my balls that year about me getting a summer job, and there was hardly anything to get. So it's kind of like, you know, the appearance of impropriety that I wasn't getting a job or I wasn't trying. But anyway, at this Taco Bell, there was about a 1-to-1 ratio of managers to general employees. You'd have like one manager there at a time, and there'd be like, you know, 5 or 6 employees maybe. But the managers all circulated about once a week, and I always got like the weekend, Saturday, with this one guy who wasn't about the same age we are now, actually. And he had this bad habit, really bad habit, of bringing in his AC/DC cassette tape he bootlegged off the radio. I'm going to turn the music on in the background real quick here so I can hear myself think.
Okay.
Anyway, this AC/DC cassette of his was, that was like his golden toy of, like, all ages. I mean, he loved this thing to death. And every night, every Saturday night, well, Sunday morning, technically, about 1 a.m., he would put the tape in the cassette player, put a C-clamp on the volume up button, and turn it on. Now, think of this, though. At that time, I'd probably be on, like, in the restroom or something, you know, either, you know, screwing around or trying not to work or taking my sweet-ass time cleaning the windows or mirrors, as they actually are. Different story altogether there. I'm not going to get into that. So I'm sitting there, you know, washing the floor or whatever, and, you know, all of a sudden we hear,
"Bam, bam, bam. Man, I'm sorry about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah."
Oh, it must be 1 a.m. You could set your watch by this. And I just got so sick of hearing AC/DC that summer. Every one of their songs, I swear to God, has something to do with either hell or balls or both of them. I thank God that he did not make the words hell and balls rhyme, because then we'd never hear anything else from them. Every song would be like, "I got some hell and the balls and the balls of the fat and yeah, man, and the balls through the wall. We are the hell's balls. They're ringing. And I got the biggest balls in the hell. Yeah." What is wrong with that guy? He sounds like those damn, what are those things in the Quiznos commercials, those sperm monkeys or whatever.
"We got the shot! Something does! When you bring in your balls!"
Someone's actually sitting around one day thinking, "We gotta start a band. We need a lead singer. Let's get this guy." Sounds like that retarded German kid that was on your school bus back in the 90s. Man. It's the summer that never ended.
Oh, I never realized how...
It was traumatic.
All their songs is like hell or balls.
It is. You know, ever look at a track listing? They got Hell's Bells. They got Balls to the Wall. They got some weird, "I got big balls, you got big balls, we both got big balls, so let's go to hell and eat Quiznos subs." I mean, it's just... Oh, get man. Some new material, Brian Johnson. Jesus Christ.
Oh. Man, I'm crying. That's so funny.
It's my rant for the year, I think. 6 months in the waiting.
Well, that definitely tells me what we can use for outro music.
Yeah. And speaking of music, this is just par for the course. Ja Rule has a 4th duets album coming out. This is all on the same day, apparently. But he sent us the promo for that, so let's just turn the microphone over to Ja and let him advertise his release.
Okay, and then that'll probably be followed by some balls or some hell or whatever.
And a trivia question answered, by the way, to kind of wrap things all up here, I guess. But
okay, well, here's some Ja Rule, and then we'll finish up with the trivia question.
Holla.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wait is over. Remix Records proudly presents Ja Rule Duets 4. On Ja Rule Duets 4, you'll get...
Complicated! Yeah! Frustrated! Holla!
On Ja Rule Duet 4, you'll get this smash hit!
"What I Do Is About You When I'm With My Boo Crazy Over You." Holla!
Once again, you will be reminded that nobody rocks harder than Ja. Here's proof.
Sky, fly, what would I be without you?
Ja Rule Duets 4 includes this very special bonus track that's guaranteed to be the wedding song of the year.
Baby, you're all that I want.
All I want! My arms,
finding it hard to believe,
holla.
Ja Rule Duets 4, get yours today. Operators are standing by.
Standing by, holla. Holla.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, it's time for that answer to that trivia question.
Yeah, okay. I actually went and typed this out because I want to be very, very methodical with this. Okay, question once again was, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, bonus level. You had the hedgehog basically running around a checkered globe, grabbing these spheres, and you get all the spheres, you win. Okay. The checkerboard pattern... Oh, the question, of course, was, why is this physically impossible? The checkerboard pattern on the globe is made up of 36 squares in circumference. Now, to put it another way... That means if you start at any given point and wander around the globe in a straight line, you'll come back to your starting point after passing 36 tiles. This holds true no matter where you start and no matter what direction you're going. Now remember, movement in this arena is done on the edges of the tiles. So you walk on the borderline between them and you turn at the intersections, the corners, where you know the four corners that come together. They're all four-way intersections, basically. Now these, where am I? Okay, that's the problem, basically. You cannot have a 36 by 36 or any number, X by X tile pattern around a sphere with only four-way line intersections. One of two sacrifices must be made. And you can diagram this out on like an orange or a baseball or something your own later on. Basically, one of two sacrifices has to be made. You can have your 36 by 36 pattern and 4 points on four places and opposite sides of the sphere where all 36 parallel lines come together at once. And then just four-way intersections everywhere else. Or, you can have just four-way intersections across the entire thing, but you can only have the 36 by 36 thing apply to the middle of the sphere. And the farther you stray from the middle, the smaller rotation you get, the less squares it takes to walk all the way around. Now, to visualize this better, think of the difference between an orange and an onion. Think of the first way as an orange coming apart in sections. Think of the second one as an onion being chopped. The orange sections are all equidistant all the way around, but there are two places where every single one of those fault lines basically intersects with every single other one. As for the onion, it's chopped in a way, just right across the board, that the middle slices are larger than the ones on the extreme right or the extreme left, and the closer you get to the middle, the bigger they get. So essentially, one of those... with a video game, you can warp physics, and you can, create... What's that Gertrude Secrets game for the Apple II that has, this one area where you edit the tiles, and it's, warped space, because technically that's the exact same area you start out in. But in reality, you cannot have the thing where you got equidistant, and only four-way intersections. It can't happen. So, I hope I explained that adequately well. God, class must have been boring that day.
Jeez. Okay, well, this has been episode 6 of Blow on This Radio.
Excellent. And we covered all of our bases here.
Yep. And I'll hopefully bring out more to you. Maybe we have time and just go ahead and surprise people with episode 7.
Yeah, we can do a 4th of July special. Actually, today's the 2004th day I've gone without drinking alcoholic beverage, minus, church or mouthwash or any of that gay stuff. And I'm thinking... Since I graduated in 2005, and life kind of begins anew in 2005, I might just have something to drink tomorrow to commemorate the 2005th day, which is also Independence Day. So that'd be a kind of a worthy thing to record and see what happens afterwards. Always fun.
RXC tipsy. Volume 1.
Volume 1.
Holla!
Yes, yes.
So, this is DJ Moss saying holla.
And this is Ja Rule saying, got some balls! Go to hell! Holla!
Ja Rule needs to hook up with AC/DC.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Holla at your Hell's Bells or whatever.
Wouldn't
Hell's
that be?
Balls.
Yeah. Put it on
you. That's probably how they came up with Hell's Bells, because they're like, how would we, like...
That's
like,
probably
Hell's
it.
Balls. Hell's Balls. Those rhyme.
Hell's Balls. You've got a chip on your Nintendo logo, by the way.
Okay. Well, until next time, I don't think we have it until next time. Okay, we usually end the show with saying that now it's time to go have some RC.
I think we usually end the show, yeah. With, what do we say at the end of the show? I forgot.
Let's have some RC and some fried rice, and we'll see you on episode 7.
There you go.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small, the social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. My belief that my big ball should be held every night. Oh, we've got.